this
tragic, absolutely tragic. And any Christian, just looking at the destruction that alcohol does, not only in our society but right across the earth, should say to themselves, well, I want nothing to do with it. I know of non-Christians who will have nothing to do with alcohol because of the destruction that it has done in their families, their own families. So if non-Christians can come to that conclusion, then surely Christians, who should be avoiding all appearance of evil, should come to that conclusion as well. First of all, let's start with this area of the word wine. You know, our culture, as soon as you hear the word wine, our present-day culture thinks, oh, that's alcoholic. Historically, it's not so. So we should realise, historically, not all wines have been alcoholic. So we should not automatically place our culture, which uses wine as predominantly alcoholic, into the biblical setting. Historically, there was a man called Horace. He spoke in 35 BC of unintoxicating wine. Unintoxicating wine. Plutarch in 60 AD wrote, "The filtered wine neither inflames the brain nor infects the mind and the passions, and is much more pleasant to drink." Amen to that. Praise God. Aristotle said of sweet wine that it would not intoxicate and could be boiled down and stored and then dissolved in water when needed again. Virgil in 30 BC referred to the unintoxicating wine. Homer in the Odyssey referred to the pure wine. So I want you to get very clear that historically the word wine referred to both alcoholic and non-alcoholic. Okay? Now, when you see the word wine in Scripture, you have to look at its context. In some contexts, you can very clearly see that it's referring to alcoholic wine that causes intoxication and drunkenness and harm. Other parts it talks about wine, it uses the word wine in a good way. And that is clearly not talking about intoxication or intoxicating wine. So we've got to be very clear about this area, because our culture, unfortunately, as soon as they hear the word wine, automatically thinks, well, it's alcoholic, and that is absolutely not the case. Let's have a look at Proverbs 20 verse 1. Proverbs 20 verse 1. Now I'm going to go, I could go through this a lot in this area, but I'm going to go through a couple of areas, and specifically talking about us as priests in the Lord. Actually, priests, kings and priests in the Lord. And because that's what Christ has made us. So we're looking at Proverbs chapter 20 verse 1. Now this is... And you, very clearly, this scripture is talking about intoxicating wine, alcoholic wine, and you can see what it says about such wine. Because wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. And we see there's a lot of deception. Unfortunately, in the churches of today, there's this perception that we've got to be contemporary. We've got to be a little bit like the world so that we can reach out to the world. That is rubbish. I believe that we must be people where we preach to the world the gospel, they become converted to Christ, and then they conform to the image of Christ. Not conform to the world, they come out of the evil fallen world and they start to conform to what's written in here. That's important. And you're going to hear in the sermon series about you know, faith to witness of Christ, that I'm very much wanting there to be both numbers and quality of people coming into the Lord. When we're talking about quality, we want it so that people who have been touched in these areas such as wine and strong drink, in other words, alcoholic beverages, that they don't come into an environment where, oh, it's okay, it's all right. And then they come to a scripture like this, and they say, oh, wait a minute, this is wrong as a mocker. Well, it seems to be a contradiction to that. That fellow's having a glass of wine at his dinner table, and he says, wine is a mocker. You know, I actually showed that scripture to a Christian lady a few years ago, and she got very offended with me. At a scripture, believe it or not, at a scripture. And you know, the Bible talks about that the Word is going to judge people. Okay? It's very, very clear for us to understand this in the right way. The Bible talks about, you know, discerning between good and evil. Look at Proverbs 23, verses 20 and 21. We don't want to be people that are deceived, because if you're deceived, you're not wise. We want to be people that are wise in the Lord. Proverbs 23, verses 20 and 21. Now it says here, my son, give thine heart and thine eyes, observe my ways. Observe my ways. Observe God's ways. Now let me just quote to you. This is from an article in The Age, 1987. I could quote many, many of these type. But it says, alcohol is responsible for 1 in 5 admissions to the Victorian state's public hospitals, and according to the Australian Medical Association. It is the main cause of primary illness or disability in about a third of patients admitted to general hospitals. That's a massive amount. One of the main offshoots of the misuse of alcohol is a resultant high incidence of birth defects. That's even a little bit of alcohol. Think about that. Although the health costs are high, the greatest consequence of alcohol in Victoria is as a cause of road crashes. We know also that it causes huge amounts of violence in our society. Because what is alcohol? What does it do? In pharmacological terms, it is actually a depressant of the central nervous system, the brain and the spinal cord. In the language that is evolved around drugs, alcohol is a downer masquerading as an upper. Alcohol's initial effect is to progressively remove the inhibitions that normally constrain a person's conversation and behaviour. And so the world says that it's a social lubricant. Now I want you to see a little bit about this area of priesthood. Now, who is Jesus, first of all? Let's establish that. Look at Hebrews 4, verse 14. Hebrews 4:14. Now some people, you know, they've said to me, well, Jesus turned the water into wine. Well, you've got to have a little bit of a think about this. For a start off, not everything, every time the word wine is used in Scripture, is it intoxicating? So that's the first key, isn't it? The second key is that Jesus is our high priest. And if you look at Hebrews 4, verse 14, first of all, Hebrews 4, verse 14, we see that it refers to him as our wonderful high priest. Verse 14 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. So who's our high priest? Jesus, the Son of God. He's our high priest. And, you know, Jesus has not changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And let's understand that he is our wonderful Saviour today, and the Bible says that we are to walk even as he walked. Okay, even as he walked. He walked in holiness and purity, and the Bible says he was without sin. Okay, holiness, purity, without sin. Look at Hebrews 8 verses 1 to 6. Hebrews 8 verses 1 to 6. Right, so why is it that we're going on to Jesus as the high priest? Well, remember what we're looking at. People are accusing Jesus of turning wine into an alcoholic beverage, and yet wine is a mocker. So, obviously talking about alcoholic wine is a mocker. Why would Jesus turn water into a mocker? So clearly, he would not do so. But let's have a look at what it says here. Hebrews 8, verses 1 to 6. Now, of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. That's Jesus. A minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. In other words, what we read in the Old Testament about the priesthood was a shadow of what was to come, namely the Old Testament priesthood, and the high priest was a shadow of the high priest to come. Now let me ask you a question. Do you think that the high priest of the Old Testament, Aaron, and other high priests to follow his line, do you think they were people who were imbibing alcoholic drinks?
No.
Not at all. Let's have a look. Look at Leviticus 10, verses 8 to 11. Now, if Jesus is the fulfillment of the high priest, then you know precisely that he will not be doing something that is contradictory to what was forbidden to the high priest. And we'll see that in Leviticus 10, verses 8 to 11. Leviticus 10, verses 8 to 11. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, saying, do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou and all thy sons with thee, when ye go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. It shall be a statute, how long? Forever, throughout your generations, and that ye may put difference between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean, and that ye may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord hath spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. So here we see that the high priest, Aaron, and his sons, and indeed you could see from this all the priests that would go into the tabernacle, were forbidden to drink wine nor strong drink. And clearly this is talking about alcoholic wine, and strong drink would cover all the other types of alcoholic drinks. So you can see here that it's very, very clear, verse 10, that ye may put difference between holy and unholy, between unclean and clean. Now here's the thing. The Lord Jesus Christ, as our high priest, would not have turned wine into a mocker.
Yes.
This is the primary argument that you must use if anyone brings up that again to you. Oh, but Jesus turned the alcohol, the water into wine. Wasn't that alcoholic? What are they thinking?
Well, for start off, they're thinking that all wine is alcoholic, which is wrong. Historically, it's not been so. And you need to understand that. Secondly, Jesus is the fulfillment of the type. And the type was in Aaron and the Levitical priesthood here, where they were forbidden to drink wine or strong drink. So Jesus would not have touched wine or strong drink, and neither would he have turned water into alcoholic wine. Okay, so this is very important for us to understand this, because if we don't, then we can be swayed by silly arguments. Let's have a look at another part related to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at John 2, verses 1 to 5. John 2, verses 1 to 5. Now, we know that the forerunner to the Lord Jesus Christ was John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was a holy man and a prophet. And notice what it says. Before we go into that, we'll actually look at the wine area where Jesus turned water into wine here. And the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when he wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. And Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother sent unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And so you can see, then it goes on, and he turned the water into wine. Now, if you go forward to verse 10, it says, and he saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, than that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. Now, the good wine historically is not the alcoholic one which causes intoxications and problems. The good wine is the non-alcoholic wine. So now let's have a look a little bit at, and just go a little bit forward to the era of John the Baptist, Luke 1 verse 15, Luke 1 verse 15. So I want you to see that the Lord Jesus Christ as the high priest would not have touched alcoholic wine, and he is our example. And we're going to look at the fact that we indeed have been made priests and kings who follow after him. And the Bible says that we are to walk even as he walked. We're to keep ourselves pure and holy. And I think this is a very important area in this. But here's John the Baptist, Luke 1 verse 15. It says, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Why, if the Lord Jesus Christ was allowed to drink alcoholic wine and strong drink, why would it be forbidden for John the Baptist to not drink alcoholic wine and strong drink? You got to see that the forerunner, the prophet to the Lord Jesus Christ, he was forbidden to drink wine or strong drink, so it must also be of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was the high priest, as we know, and the high priest was forbidden to drink wine. Now, I know I'm emphasising this over and over again, but I want it to be very clear in our hearts that the priesthood was to be holy and pure before the Lord. Okay? And it is a great contradiction for the priesthood to be partaking of the mocking wine. And the Bible says that if you are deceived by that, you're not wise. Okay? Now the world has this great... And we went through a bit of the destruction of it, but it has this great influence in our culture, saying, but it's a huge problem, And so Christians must be separate from the world. Christians must not conform to the world and not conform to the pressures that the world might give in this area. Let's have a look at a few more. Look at Isaiah 28 verse 7. Now, I've selected just a few things to go through tonight because the fact is that I could go through many, many scriptures. But I just want you to get hold of tonight that we as priests of God should not drink alcohol. In fact, we're kings and priests, and it is something that causes people to go off track. Looking at Isaiah 28 verse 7, it says, "But they also have erred through wine, and through strong drink are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision, they stumble in judgment." So you can see that people err or can err through alcoholic beverages, and they can stumble, they go out of the way of God. And it's particularly shows the fallen state here of where the priests and the prophets were. The priests and the prophet have erred through strong drink. So clearly they were right off the track here as well. And you've got to see that the priest and the prophet were anointed of the Lord, were called of the Lord, and were to be holy, and were to be people that others looked up to and even honoured. And so we must be people that are examples to all those around us. Examples to all those around us. And it's very, very important for you to see that. You know, several years ago, I was involved there was an accident with my car, and a man staggers out of the house. I had my car parked in front of the house. He staggers out of the house, and he says, "You shouldn't have been there." And I said to him, perhaps I stirred him a bit, I said to him, "Is that alcohol I smell in your breath?" And later on, he did pay for the damage of the car. But he was coming out and making false accusations. What does alcohol do? It distorts the judgment. It causes people to go out of the way. And this is something we have to understand. Have a look at Ezekiel 44, verse 21. Ezekiel 44, verse 21. Ezekiel 44:21. Once again, make it very clear. It says, "Neither shall any priest drink wine when they enter into the inner court." Do we have access to the courts of God today? We do, don't we? The Bible says we should come boldly to the throne of grace. We have access to the inner court. And we are priests. We are kings. Look at Revelation 1 verses 5 and 6. And there's many other scriptures we could turn to, but this is one that will give us sufficient knowledge of what we are in Christ. Revelation 1 verses 5 and 6. And it says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, and to him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." So what are you now? You're a king and a priest. We are kings and priests. What did we just read in Ezekiel 44, verse 21? Neither shall any priest drink wine when they enter into the inner court. What do we know about our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the high priest? Would he have been an imbiber of alcoholic wine, which is called a mocker? Would he have changed water into alcoholic wine, which is called a mocker? Clearly not. Now, this makes a lot of sense. And we as priests should understand that we follow him in his example, and we are to be holy. And yet we find that there are even Christians dabbling in this area. It shouldn't be so. It should be very easy just to look at this. And if someone asks you, you just say, look, the Lord Jesus Christ is our high priest. The high priest was based on the Levitical priesthood. The Levitical priesthood was forbidden to drink wine and strong drink. The Bible tells us in other areas that the priests and the prophets are not to drink wine or strong drink. Therefore, we are priests and kings of God. We should not be either. And even the forerunner to the Lord Jesus Christ, the prophet John the Baptist, did not drink strong drink and alcoholic beverages. We have to understand that it's a very, very simple argument. And if people then want to neglect it, well, that's their decision, but they're not wise, as the scripture says in Revelation 20, verse 1. We want people to be wise here. Wise. And I mentioned to you before, like, there are non-Christians who will not touch alcohol now because of the destruction they've seen in people's lives due to it. Look at Proverbs 31 verse 4. Proverbs 31 verse 4. Now we know that alcohol affects the judgment. We read before that it inhibits the behavior of a person. Now here we see in Proverbs 31 verse 4 that we have to have, as kings and priests, we have to have our minds sharp, active, having the mind of Christ, and not being influenced by a drug which causes great destruction in people's lives, intoxicates and causes us to go out of the way. So here we see in verse 4, it is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink. Are you a king?
Yes.
Well, it's not for you to drink wine. Okay. Are you a priest?
Yes.
Well, the priest should not be drinking wine and strong drink. Now, this is not legalism. This is common sense in the Lord. And what this is I am obeying the Lord because his word is law.
Yeah.
Okay? This is not saying, well, they're trying to force us into going against this. We want to be able to reach out to the world. And I want to be accepted by those around me. That's not the way. You won't be accepted. You've got to understand that we are strangers and pilgrims in the world. We are peculiar people. Okay? We are not to be conformed to the world. So you're not going to be accepted by the world. In fact, the Bible is very clear that the world will hate you. So what is the solution? The solution is the Word of God. And so when we preach the Word, that's what's going to have an influence. That's what's going to have an influence on people. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 22, I think this is a very, very important scripture for us to remember as well. You know, if at all possible, avoid even going into places where they're dedicated to alcohol, and I'm talking specifically to pubs, about pubs, because of this particular scripture here, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 22. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 22 says, abstain from all appearance of evil. Okay, I think the places that serve alcohol, breweries, all types of places like that, that are dedicated to the propagation of alcoholic beverages, are not places where Christians should be fellowshipping or sitting at the table of the wicked. In fact, we must be people that are separate. We must be people that abstain from all appearance of evil. In fact, even if non-Christians say, oh, well, let's go and have a meal, if they want to have a meal at a pub, I say, no, thank you. If they want to have a meal at a restaurant, I'll say, yes, that's okay, I'll come with you. We have to abstain from all appearance of evil. It's not right for kings and priests of the Lord Jesus Christ to be walking into pubs to have a tipple or a drink. Okay? The Bible's very clear. There's other scriptures I could turn to. It says, be not among wine bibbers, for example. Be not among wine bibbers. Look, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. There's going to be people all around you who talk about, oh, I had a great time over the weekend. Oh, what'd you do? Oh, I got blind drunk, having a bit of a laugh at that person who was getting intoxicated and so on. But it causes great destruction in our society. Great destruction. We're to avoid all appearance of evil. And it's not for kings to drink alcohol, not for kings to drink wine, not for priests of God to be involved in this area. And I pray that tonight you understand this a bit more and a bit better, so that if someone did ask of you, then you can say, well, the Lord Jesus Christ, my high priest, would not have touched alcohol. This is not for him, so it's not for me either. Praise God. Let's close in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you. We thank you for your word. And Father, we are separate from the world. And Father, we ask that we be examples to the world, that they would look to us and that they would see that we are people of holiness and not compromisers, not people that are going astray, not people who want to be contemporary as such, but people who want to be examples for the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that all of us, and in fact this church, will be a place known for its holiness, a place known as being witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. That people that are of the word, of faith, of life, of strength, and that know their Lord, know the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God, amen. I'll ask Katrina to lead us in a...